This is a Global Class Struggle podcast.
Brought to you by Rebel Youth Magazine. Workers of the world unite.
On July 14, irregular workers at subcontracting companies for Samsung Electronics Service founded the first union of irregular workers in South Korea. Around 400 workers formed the Samsung Electronics Services chapter of the Korean Metal Workers Union. If the courts recognize that the laborers who have filed a lawsuit were illegally dispatched, the new union will gain considerable bargaining rights against Samsung's anti-labor management style. The subcontractor workers wear the uniforms of Samsung Electronics Service and are subject to strict oversight and directions by the company, but are not guaranteed the minimum rights and wages stipulated by law. Hundreds took part in the General Assembly on July 14, since they had nothing to lose even if they were fired for joining the union. In their lawsuit, the employees are asking the court to determine who their real employer is. While Samsung maintains that the subcontractors have their own managerial autonomy, others consider them shell companies with no independence. Testimony has emerged showing Samsung directs and supervises the workers, and that the subcontracting companies are effectively administrative departments that handle personnel issues and pay workers' wages. In a decision recognizing Choi Byung-seung, a dismissed worker with a subcontractor for Hyundai Motor, the Supreme Court distinguished between subcontracting and illegal dispatch. Cases in which the subcontracting company is little more than a shell and the prime contractor directs and oversees the work of the subcontractor laborers and records their attendance, the court said, are not subcontracting but rather illegal dispatch. This can be said for Samsung, which is said to have ordered extra weekend work and put pressure on subcontractors to stop the general meeting to establish the new union.
The wages of global garment workers are not improving. More orders placed by big brands in nations such as Bangladesh and Cambodia do not necessarily translate into financial gains for workers, says the Workers' Rights Consortium. The Independent Labor Rights Monitoring Organization has conducted a 10-year-long investigation into wage trends around the world. Workers' wages are lower now than 10 years ago in most of these countries. The consortium's Ben Hensler said, while garment work may provide better wages than informal sector or agricultural work, it provides far less than an active living wage, a mere fraction of a living wage. The report found that in 15 of the top 21 apparel exporting countries, the average wage for garment workers was only 36.8% of what a family needs to survive. Among the top four exporters to the United States, prevailing wages in 2011 for garment workers in China, Vietnam, and Indonesia were 36%, 22%, and 29% of an actual living wage, respectively. In Bangladesh, where the Rana Plaza factory collapse killed 1,129 in April, prevailing wages provided workers just 14% of a living wage. Real wages in the country fell by 2.3% over the 10 years covered in the study. Wages are also dropping in other leading apparel exporters by 28.9% in Mexico, 23.7% in Dominican Republic, and 19.2% in Cambodia, the report showed. Orders surged into the Mexican garment industry after the North American Free Trade Agreement, but then the global system of import quotas expired and production shifted rapidly to China and other lower wage countries.
On the heels of a campaign by the Turkish government to blame it for the recent upheavals, leading members of the Turkish Communist Party are being rounded up and arrested. In Istanbul, Turkish prosecutors last week called for the arrest of 12 activists in the ongoing struggle against the construction of a shopping mall complex in Taksim Gezi Park, including leaders of the Taksim Solidarity Platform, TKP, the Turkish Communist Party, Central Executive Board member Erkan Bas, and TKP Istanbul Provincial Chair Kemal Tekerek. The demonstrations against the Taksim Gezi Park development, which began May 28th, have spread throughout Turkey and escalated to calls for the resignation of Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan and his Islamist Justice and Development Party government on the grounds of authoritarianism and brutality in suppressing the demonstrations. Citing a police report on documents seized from searches of homes of the accused, the prosecutor claims that calls for thousands of people to gather in Taksim Square prepared the ground for the marginal group's provocations. They caused the injuries of hundreds of police officers and citizens, and the calls continued despite these injuries. The government's red-baiting campaign accuses the Turkish Communist Party of having masterminded the demonstrations. There were television commentators who claimed that the communist protesters had turned peaceful protests into violent attacks that ruined social order. The mainstream Turkish media has a history of subservience to the Erdogan government and of abetting a government disinformation campaign against the demonstrators. In related developments, approximately 50 demonstrators being detained by police continued their hunger strike, begun on July 10th, to protest extension of their detention by prosecutors in Istanbul.
Around 2,000 people who have worked at Japan's wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant face a heightened risk of thyroid cancer, its operator says. Tokyo Electric Power, TEPCO, said that 1,973 people, around 10% of those employed in emergency crews involved in the cleanup, are believed to have been exposed to enough radiation to cause potential problems. The figure is a tenfold increase on TEPCO's previous estimate and comes after the utility was told its figures were too conservative. Each worker in this group was exposed to at least 100 millisieverts of radiation, projections show. Though little is known about the exact health effects of radiation on the human body, the level is considered by doctors to be a possible threshold for increased cancer risk. The Fukushima nuclear plant became a site of the worst nuclear disaster in a generation after the massive tsunami of March 2011 destroyed its cooling systems. The plant's reactors went through meltdowns that caused explosions in the buildings housing them, spewing radioactive materials into the air, sea, and soil. Tens of thousands of people were forced from their homes in a large area around the plant, where crews continued to clear debris and cool the reactors. The natural disaster claimed more than 18,000 lives, but no one is officially recorded as having died as a direct result of the radiation caused by the meltdown. The huge utility reported to the World Health Organization in December 2012 that only 178 workers at the plant were believed to have received radiation doses to their thyroid glands above 100 millisieverts. Japan's health ministry called on the utility to reevaluate its methods. All 1,973 workers now deemed to be at increased risk of thyroid cancer are eligible for an annual thyroid checkup and other health services paid for by the company.
Saudi employers and agents are coming under severe criticism for fleecing foreign workers who are struggling to have their status rectified under the amnesty declared by the kingdom, a Saudi Arabian newspaper reports. Sponsors are charging from $800 to $4,000 from foreign workers for changing professions and transferring jobs, a service offered by the government free of cost, Arab News reported on July 21st. During the first amnesty period, which ended on July 3rd, the Saudi Labor Ministry completed 4 million labor correction cases. The amnesty was extended until November 3rd following requests from various ministries, businesses, and foreign diplomats in view of the huge number of expatriate workers who wanted their employment and residential status to be regularized. For many Saudi sponsors and agents, it was a big money-making season, the newspaper quoted from one market analysis as saying, "The mischievous activities of sponsors and their liaisons agents have made expatriate workers a pawn in their hands," Mufti Sheikh Abdul Aziz said. "These individuals were one of the major impediments to speedy execution of the correction process." Fuad Kother, a Saudi engineer, said foreign workers deserved a better treatment. "Expatriates are the backbone of this country. They build our roads and houses, clean our clothes and streets, and prepare food for us. Without them, our lives will be miserable," he told Arab News, urging the government to give nationality to long-term expatriates.